Is Alex Golish keeping media receipts? What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Barnes Social Hour. We're finally back together again. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean, and this is the Barnes Social Hour. Graham, it's good to be back. Appreciate Brett.
Real quick.
Happy
March Madness to all who celebrates.
Yeah. It's literally, we got it on.
We're in right full here. Swing.
Yeah. We are potential in full upset swing. Happening by the time we're recording this. With Duke and Siena, I hope I'm saying that school right. But yeah, but Graham, let's get right into it. There is a video going around. Everyone's been talking about it, of Byron Brown's hitch in his throw. He has like a little, almost like a little like delay, almost like he's, people are calling it a hitch, plain and simple. And people have been criticizing it. Some people are saying, well, you know, if you look at his record last year, he threw for 3K, so that hitch is completely fine. It's not a problem. Some other people are, you know, at home who apparently are quarterback experts who are sitting on their couch are saying, yeah, he's going to throw a lot of picks with that in the SEC. That's not going to fly. Well, we'll see what happens, but Alex Golish is keeping receipts. And what I mean by that is, and I don't know if we have it or not, but he posted a basically like a repost, but quoted it and put the date with eagle emoji. And I guess it's like a bookmark saying like, I'm seeing this and I'm, you know,
I'm assuming like, September 5th is our first game against Baylor. I'm assuming that's what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So he is definitely, you know, keeping an eye on the naysayers and the doubters, and they're going to use it as fuel. And based off what he has done, his track record, I suspect he is going to try to prove a point for sure against Baylor. So something to keep your eye out for. But Graham, what do you think about that? Like, what, like, does that fire you up? Does that be like, oh gosh, like,
I'm glad he's doing it. I mean, I'm glad he's saying that. I mean, like, I'm so sick and tired of all this. Oh, should Auburn fans be worried about Byron Brown's throwing motion? Oh no. Like, bro, no one had an issue with it for the last 4 years. However long he's been in college.
Until he came to Auburn.
No one had an issue at USF. He comes to Auburn and was like, oh, Auburn fans better be worried. What do you mean we better be worried? I'm sorry. He just threw for 3,000 yards. Your quarterback didn't.
Yeah.
He threw for 3,000 yards last year.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about it. I don't care how he throws the ball. If he can complete the pass and throw the ball well consistently, and at practice, the balls that were coming out of his hands were good. They were good spirals. They were getting to the receivers fast. Who cares how he throws the dang ball? I don't care. Tim Tebow threw the ball so weird and is one of the greater quarterbacks of all time in college football. Dude. I don't care.
That made. Did you see the tweet? So did you see the tweet? You talked about Tim Tebow. Did you? I can't remember who it was, so I apologize. But it made me laugh. So this should brighten your spirit. Whoever posted that, if you're watching this, whenever someone compared his throw to Tim Tebow in a negative way, and people were like, "If I'm not mistaken, Tim Tebow's throwing motion looked like he was hailing a cab when he was in a hurry, and he won a Heisman." So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I could absolutely care less. I couldn't care less, or I could, however that saying goes, about his throwing motion. If he can throw the ball, complete passes, I don't care if he throws it behind his back, under his legs. At the end of the day, I don't care what it looks like.
He could do – if he were able to move the ball with headers, like in soccer with the football, bouncing it off his helmet to his receivers on a consistent level, cool. Fine. I just want somebody that can make it downfield and have confidence in throwing it. And everyone's like, oh, the hitch is actually a delay because he's, you know, he's kind of hesitating. No, that's just his style.
That's just how it is. He's not hesitating at all. I'm sorry. You think he's hesitating to an open receiver in the first day of spring practice? Just go find another sport.
Yeah, that the arm
not a hesitation. That's just a throwing motion. Yeah, it looks a little weird. Period. End of story. Move on with your day.
Yeah, the armrest quarterback experts need to sit down and take a breath, because like Graham was saying, and like everyone that is on the side of Byron Brown is saying, that hitch you're making fun of threw for 3K last year. 3K. Do I think he'll throw 3K in the SEC? No, but
it's possible.
Doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, it is possible, but doesn't matter. He literally he's fine. And also he has the height too. It's not like people were saying like, the hitch, it's going to, like, the ball's not going to hit the air quick enough. Like, it's going to be too low when it's released. Did you watch the footage? Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
It's just, once again, the national media hating on Auburn because that's just what they love to do in their free time.
Yeah. And another thing, too, kind of what you were saying that you were glad he's doing it, Alex Golish doing what he did with that tweet. I like it just because we actually have a coach that's, you know, I mean, lack for a better term, he has a pair. He ain't worried about what people think. You know what I mean? Unlike the last regime who it was like a pride thing and was consistently getting shots thrown at him and he wouldn't respond. What I like about Golish, have you noticed no one's taking shots at him as far as like other coaches? Cause they're like afraid to. Like Golish is the real deal. And I think was it you that referenced it a couple episodes ago where when he was at USF, remember when they like ran the score up on a team and the coach was in his face and he was like, he dapped him up but kept walking away and the coach is just in his face and he's like, you know, cool. Yeah. Like we just absolutely like ran y'all through the ground. So I personally, I'm a fan of it. I know some Auburn fans are like, I wish you wouldn't do that. Honestly, I kind of like the fire that we have a coach that'll, you know, actually stand up for their players and not be afraid to do it and throw them. He's not a guy that'll throw them under the bus, I don't think, like Hugh Freeze would do consistently every Saturday post-game presser if we lost.
Yeah. Or and every then, time I mean, we did lose. You saw that, you know, at the in the press conference of the first practice day one. He said, yeah, practice got a little sloppy towards the end, but we're like that's on us to coach through that. I was like, dude, yeah. Like he wasn't saying, oh gosh, yeah, our players suck. They're getting way too sloppy. Like, it's not our fault. We coached them to not be sloppy. They are the ones being sloppy. Like, well, you are a representation of the product on the field.
Yeah.
And that's what and like that's what I feel like everyone like with Hugh Freeze. We're so frustrated about his comments on the program and everything. He's like, dude, you literally are a like the representation of like that you're the product you put on the field is a representation of your coaching. End of the story.
Plain and simple.
So whenever your team's failing and you're like, well, you know, I think Peyton Thorne made some bad, you know, choices right there. I think Jackson Allen didn't make the right call. That's on you. You didn't coach him well enough, or you didn't recruit the right guy. I'm sorry. Don't be blaming this on everyone else. And so I really, so far, I really liked Golish being like, look, we're going to coach through that like that. And we're you know, coaches have got to be better. So I really like it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I go back to the Zach Blackerby's clip when he was interviewing Xavier Atkins. I'm sure everyone's seen that by now. But he's like, this coaching staff isn't requesting greatness. They're demanding it.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's a much needed thing for us, to me anyway. I don't know how everyone else feels, but as far as like coaches that are not going to baby the players like we had the last 3 years, just the vibe that is around the football facility right now, the vibes are up. I love it. They're holding each other accountable. It's organized. People act like they want to be there for a change, not like they're just going through the motions. Like, it's good. It's great. I love it. And I'm excited to see, you know, where this goes and, you know, how it plays out. Do I think we're going to be incredible our first year? Did I predict 9-3? I did. That might change after A-Day, but I'm still excited because, like, just based off what we saw. Now, granted, me and you were covering O-line. I was covering D-line. But the first part of practice, we were able to see Bryan throw some, you know, routes to his receivers. And, hey, they look good. You know why? Because, again, I bring it up. He has the chemistry with those guys. Him and Golish, I think it's a big positive going into the season that Byron Brown has his former coach, his OC, and his receivers. Having chemistry and that connection on your side, even though regardless it's a new school and a new conference and new competition that's better than the last conference you were in, it's a good thing. I'm excited about it. And it just only preps our guys to get better. And the fact that we have that chemistry, that just adds fuel to the fire positively. And I'm excited. I don't know how else to put it. Like, it's, you know, again, I'm cautiously optimistic, but I, you know, after that dinner we went to and then seeing practice firsthand and like everyone in pads and help, you know, ready to go, like, I'm excited. The energy was great. Gullish and Byram chest bumping when we like were, when we were walking in when they were playing Lil Wayne, and you know, like everyone was like happy to be there. Like, dude, like, you, why not be excited about football for a change?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I get people not wanting to be after the absolute crapshoot we've had the past 3 years with the last head coach that couldn't. The man could recruit, but outside of that, the man couldn't be competent enough to give you a water if you needed it. You know what I mean? So it's just how it is. And I'm excited. I am. I like Gullish a lot, and I like the fire. And this is just another example of that with this whole tweet. I really do think that it's a good thing overall. But
you know, there's so much to be excited about.
Yeah, what's that?
Roback.
Yes, there is. Go to roback.com. Use code BARN20. And get some gear, officially licensed Auburn gear. We have that hoodie that you see on your screen just in navy. The orange hoodie is a good option too. It's starting to warm up again. I know we got pump faked by spring again if you live in Alabama. So the hoodies definitely came in clutch. But it's time for everyone to break out their polos. It's almost golf season, especially in the Birmingham area with the Regents Tournament, you know, coming up. I've seen some Roback out there, some Auburn Roback, and just other Roback shirts that they have. So we're very thankful for Roback and their partnership with the Barn and the Barn Social Hour. Again, that is code BARN20 at roback.com to get 20% off your order. Graham, we got another football story. This one is actually kind of funny because you – and, again, this goes to just the culture of Alex Gullish and company, right? So a reporter was asking Chris Nimrod, correct? What, or you know,
Chas Nimrod.
Chas Nimrod, Chris. I don't know why I said that. But yeah, what basically, I'll kind of flip it to you here, let you speak on it. Like, what was asked as far as, like, you know, the competition level, I guess, goes? And, like, I guess, I think the question was, the tweet, I don't have it in front of me. That's why I don't know if you have it or not, but wherever they asked him, who's the fastest player on the team. And he said, me, and the competition next to me is Bryce Kane, which I thought was pretty cool. So kind of go into that as far as.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, they had another practice today and the new media, the media availability for it was some different players. It was guys like Jeremiah Koger, Chas Nimrod. Those are some of the two I saw, and there's some more. I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, someone asks, or it's the tweets from Nathan King says Auburn wide receiver Chas Nimrod has been called the fastest player on this roster. Mm-hmm. And it says, who's the primary competition for that title? And a direct quote from Nimrod is Bryce Kane. So yeah, that's exciting. I mean, Bryce Kane, I thought was a speed demon, you know, like,
Before
last year and stuff. And so the fact that we might have someone even faster than that, like have two guys that are unbelievably fast, is super exciting.
Yeah, I wish that, granted, like when they have pads on, like it's one thing, but seeing them sprint without pads on where they don't have like that restriction on them, I wish we could have seen that in practice, but we never would get to probably. I don't know how the format on that works with media availability, but dude, I remember going when I shadowed, if everyone at home remembers Coach Tim Horton. When I was in high school, I shadowed him when he was on staff at Auburn. And it was back when I believe Anthony Schwartz was still here. It was his last year or maybe the year before he left. And they were running sprints in practice against, you know, it was like one-on-ones and everything. Seeing Anthony Schwartz sprint full speed with no pads on, like, dude was generating a breeze when he would run by you, you know what I mean? Yeah. I would love to see those two in particular, Bryce Kane and Nimrod, race each other just in person. I think that would be awesome to see. But that just shows the type of competitive edge that the culture that Gullish is bringing to this football team, because you don't have guys that are like, well, yeah, I'm here, this guy's here, so I'm not going to do anything to make this guy better because I'm already here. So why do I need to help somebody and impact where I am on my ladder? No, you have people that are willing to go, you know, here together, and it doesn't matter. Like, it's, I really do like this atmosphere that Gullish is creating. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it, like we said before, it definitely feels different compared to, you know, the Freeze era and even the Harsin era. I mean, and I think like, Harsin believed and wanted a good culture. He just wasn't at making it happen, you know?
Yeah.
And like, cause I remember like some of the first early days of Harson, I'm like, oh wow, this dude like is no nonsense. Like wants to
nose to the grindstone. And
then,
yeah. Yeah.
And then it just ended up that he didn't know how to recruit at this level. He just had no clue.
Yeah, he was under the impression that, oh, well, it's Auburn. People will just show up. No.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is an SEC school. This is, you know, kids are going to want to come play here. I don't even have to really try that hard. Well, that's just not true. And then he put us in the gutter even more. And now, you know, Hugh kind of got us out of that gutter. He couldn't coach.
He got us out of the gutter. I would say he more got us out of the gutter recruiting-wise. But yeah, that's what
I mean.
Like,
only recruiting wise. I mean,
he got us out of the gutter
for recruiting, but that's about it.
Yeah, as far as like the on field product during a game, it got worse. So hopefully, now with Golish,
we get both. We get out of the gutter from recruiting standpoint, and because obviously, like towards the end of Q's tenure here, like recruiting just hit a plateau. It stopped.
Yeah.
We weren't getting anybody, and they always were making the excuse, well, we're trying to follow the rules of whatever this is. So I was like, I'm not buying that anymore. I think he just wasn't recruiting well. So hopefully, there's been a lot of talk that Golish has been really pushing hard for some of the top guys in the country and making a really good impression. So if this dude is as intense as he is on the football field and practice, and if he has that same intensity on the recruiting trail, man, that could be really special.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Whenever Hugh, I guess to me, I felt like it plateaued after he got Deuce. You know what I mean? Because like we were such in a bidding war for Deuce between Notre Dame and Ole Miss? Yeah,
it's just Ole Miss, really. Notre Dame. Was out of the picture.
Oh, that's right. Because the week before he was like, okay, yeah, I'm good. I'm just going to stick with SEC. Even though even after he decided to transfer from Auburn, they're like, please choose us, please, please. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm good, Mother Mary. But, you know, I really do. I agree with you. I think Golish has potential to get both sides of the on-field and off-field back to the standard we want it to. He just needs to – which, granted, it's his first year, so a lot of his players were going to transfer to Auburn. I mean, that's not a shock to anybody, I don't think. So, but the guys that we have there, based off what we've seen, and I think Graham will agree with this, they're no scrubs. Byron Brown is no scrub. Jeremiah Kroger is no scrub. Singleton is no scrub. Malik Autry, no scrub. I saw him up close and personal, no scrub. So I just, man, I'm excited just to see how this year plays out. I'm curious to see if we can. The one thing I'm worried about is injuries, because that in the past is, you know, whenever we're supposed to have a good year, injuries start to pile up. If we can just keep everyone healthy, I like our chances, y'all. I really do. Like, if we can just I'm not going to have high expectations in terms of like, oh, we're going to make the playoff. No. But I do think we can at least get back into a bowl game and actually be competitive again and eventually work our way into the playoff under the Golish coaching staff. So, but pivoting to outside of football for a little bit, me and Graham went to I don't know if you talked about it yesterday, so I apologize. But the NIT, me and Graham attended the NIT.
We covered it a little bit, but not a ton. We kind of just talked about the Keyshawn Murphy situation, and then attendance was really poor.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of give my take on the attendance thing. So people have been ragging the attendance. And I think a lot of it had to do with not because we were in the NIT and because it was South Alabama. I think a lot of it had to do with the time of the tip off and every Auburn fan that was in town that day, because it was I think Graham will agree with this. And I really think you will. It was a zoo on campus because you had baseball going on. You had the practice going on. Some media people were there on top of the students back in classes from spring break. So a combination of that with baseball being a top five matchup, like everyone was there and sitting out in the sun from what the game started at what 4:30, 4 somewhere
baseball
in there.
Started at 4. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're sitting out in the sun. So a lot of people are just ready to go home at that point. You know what I mean? And watch basketball. I don't think it had anything to do with like the support of Steven is dying. Cause I have seen that where it's like, oh, the, you know, people are already starting to unsupport Steven. No, it was just a late night tip off. I know that hadn't stopped people in the past, But it's just, I don't know. I really don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I do think part of it, and for some fans, it was the fact that, like, and they kind of mentioned this on Village Vice a couple days ago, but, like, I think for some fans, it was just the simplest fact. It was like, NIT shouldn't be the standard. I'm not going to go watch a game. Like, that shouldn't be what we're striving for. And I guess I don't think it's, like, against Steven. I just think it's against, like, I'm not going to waste my money to go watch an NIT game when, like, we should be in March Madness or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
No, I was worried there a little bit when South Alabama went on a little run and we were down by, what, 10 at one point. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, if this happens, on one section, the six people in section 105 will riot the streets of Auburn if we blow this. So, but thankfully we didn't. The team was able to rally. Magwood,
Overton, and Magwood rallied. That was it.
Yeah.
Magwood, and Overton won the game.
I'm afraid the damage is done there on Magwood as far as, like, his relationship with the team and Steven and the university as a whole. But Duke can hoop. And I hate that what happened between him and Steven, because, you know, it was a complete misunderstanding, but you still don't treat your coach like that. And that was just he paid the price for that. And unfortunately, we have too, because he could actually play and he would have been a viable backup guard off the bench that we desperately needed. That would have helped with our depth and I think get us some wins over teams that we should have beat. So that's just me though. But hopefully, again, I think our targets need to be Overton, Jovic, and for sure Freeman, for sure. I think Freeman is priority number one, and then Overton and Jovic in that order. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I don't have anything else. You got anything?
I think that's it.
Cool. Well, again, please like and subscribe to the channel. We're very appreciative of the support on The Barn. We have other great podcasts like the Top Button Podcast with Charlie Five, and Village Vice with Brad Law and Zach Blackerby, and the baseball show with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and occasionally Sonny DeShera, and this show, The Social Hour, with me, Hunter Bussey, and Graham McLean. So we got you covered, all four corners. We enjoy getting to do this every day. It's been a lot of fun, and especially thankful for the opportunity to get to cover our first practice. I was on cloud nine. I don't know about Graham, but my little 8-year-old me would have been like, you know what I mean? Like, so excited. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad we got to do that and kind of tell y'all what we got to see, and hopefully we get to do it again real soon. And y'all, 8A's right around the corner. So, and it's just a good time to be a sports fan right now. Good time to be a sports fan. We got 8A coming up. We got baseball's doing good. MLB is about to start. March Madness is on. Like, it can't get better if you're a sports fan. So,
yeah, Duke again, just lead.
Oh, did they? They came back. I figured they would. So
it's a 2-point game right now.
Man. Yeah, I figured they would. So, but again, we appreciate it. Please like, subscribe, turn on notifications so you don't miss anything from us. And as always, War Damn Eagle. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.